If you have your Bibles with you or the ones in the pew, you can turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We're just looking at these verses as early as recently as yesterday. And there is a verse at the end of a portion here, Hebrews chapter 10, and a bunch of verses actually, verses 19 through 25, that have such a great application for all of us. We were looking at these verses, as I mentioned yesterday, and someone that was in our company mentioned that the book of Hebrews has a lot of warning passages, but here you get a section that is a great encouragement to us. And these are more of the positive exhortations that we have from God's Word. Someone has called this the lettuce patch of Hebrews, because you'll see there's a number of lettuce commands. Verse 19, therefore, brethren, so he's speaking to believers, having boldness enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, here's the first one, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the first lettuce command that we have. The second one is in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That last verse is really what I'd like to focus on just for a few minutes. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, we mentioned in the book of Malachi, there was that verse that says the Lord listened to those who spoke to one another. Book of Remembrance was written out of the book of the law. You know, there's a time that even in a fellowship, but in our own personal life, we need a divine reset. You know, you've been going along for a number of years, just kind of plodding along in the Christian life. And I couldn't help but think of a guy by the name of Vance Havner. I've mentioned this recently to our Bible study group over in Whiting, that Vance Havner, even though he started preaching at age 12, when he was 70 years of age, he said, you know, my life has just been pretty much of a straight line. Even though he was a popular preacher, even though he didn't have an organization behind him or anything like that, and he was in demand around the country, he just felt that his Christian life was just mediocre. And so he really asked the Lord for help, and really asked the Lord for some reinvigoration of his Christian walk. And so he looked at that portion in John chapter 7 where it says, come unto me, you know, the verse that reminds us of the Lord. Let me just look it up so I can quote it. You don't have to turn to it, but it's found in John chapter 7. He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And Vance Havner said, I want to have my heart filled with love for the Lord's people so that I have a sense of being used of the Lord in a very special way. All of us need to have that divine reset at some time in our experience, where we just are going along, or perhaps we've been hit with some discouragement. Even in our own meeting here, we've been hit with some discouragement. But, you know, there's a need for the Lord's people to exhort one another. And I am so thankful for my assembly. I remember a number of years ago, we had an annual meeting, and at the very end of the meeting, Ernie Chick was one of the elders at the time. His name was Ernie Chick. And I remember saying to him after he made a comment, I said to him, you know, I just love my assembly. I love the fact that there are people here who really love the Lord Jesus Christ. They are desiring to live the Christian life. They're desiring to witness to people around them. They want to encourage other believers in the Lord. And you really had that palpable sense that people really love the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, there is still the exhortation that comes from this portion that we need to keep moving on. Philippians chapter 3 talks about it. It says, Paul speaking to the Philippians, he says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, when you press, that means there's some resistance. So what is that resistance that all of us might be experiencing one way or another? Might be resistance because of the things of the world around us. might be resistance because of discouragement, might be resistance for other reasons. But we need to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so here, the writer, who I think personally is the Apostle Paul, is telling all of us, verse 22, let us, so that's more than one person, it's a group of people, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Draw near to the Lord. Draw near to one another. Really make the effort to encourage one another in Christ, to live for the Lord. You know, we only have one life to live. And as someone said in that little poem or whatever, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And we really need to encourage one another in the things of Christ. And, you know, I look across the audience here. There's not a person here in this audience that I haven't prayed for in one way or another in through the years, especially in the last year or two. And, you know, to be praying for people really draws your heart to them, causes you to want to connect with them and say, how are you doing in the Lord? And, you know, doing whatever you can do to encourage them in Christ. And so this verse is telling us that. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Well, the primary application is close to the Lord. But another application would be toward one another, encouraging one another, whether it's a phone call, whether it's a letter or note in the mail. We've tried to do that even as our family, just trying to connect with different people in the assembly and tell them how important they are to us. There's another let us in verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. We're living in a day which there is an assault on the church. And there's really, it's very clear to see. Right now, all eyes are on this Supreme Court case. You've heard about it, perhaps. Is it down in Maryland where there's a 70-foot cross that's made of concrete or something like that? And the atheists are trying to make a move to get this taken down, a cross on public property. And it's in the courts right now. You may not have heard about it, but it's going on right now. Based on how that goes, you might see all the crosses in Arlington Cemetery all come down. That's how it possibly could go that way. And it's going to be a landmark case, and it's in the process of being taking place right now. And we need to be praying for this, but this is what's going on in our country. You know, the scripture says in Proverbs, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we're seeing the foundations destroyed all around us. And so that's why the Lord's people need to encourage one another, because of the pressure from the world around us. We need to encourage ourselves in our own meeting here. We need to encourage each other in our walk with the Lord. And so in verse 23, we hold fast the confession of our hope. We don't waver. Those three men who were associates with Daniel, when the decree came down from Nebuchadnezzar, bow down when this image that I made is, the music takes place and it's presented that way. You bow down, and they stood tall against the pressures around them. And it's going to come a time in the Christian life, not too far away, I don't think, where we're going to really have to show our colors. And the basis of that phrase, show our colors, is this. When in British maritime military exercises, when they went to battle, they would nail their colors to the mast, is what it says. And what that meant was, when the flag was nailed to the mast, it means they weren't moving. They put the flag of the country up there. And when that flag was nailed to the mast, that meant they weren't giving up the fight. And unfortunately, there's a lot of Christians in some ways who are giving up the fight, and they're just going along with the flow. I remember one time being at the, we took a group of people from the chapel here, and we went up to the Poconos and had a great weekend, a camp weekend. And we were in the Delaware River, and there was a current that was going on in the Delaware River. And at one point, we were swimming against that current, and it was tough because it was tiring. And it was so easy just to let go like that. You still feel like you're making progress because the current is taking you down the stream. But it was leading you to a place that was dangerous, a waterfall. So you have to swim against that current or swim sideways or something to counter that. And it's so easy just to go along with the flow. And in our culture now, with all that's on the news, with all that's on television, it's easy just to kind of get caught up in the current of the world. And yet, in verse 23, we're encouraged to hold fast the confession of our hope. Stand tall, just like those three men in Daniel's day. And so we can do it without wavering. That's a key phrase right there, without wavering. It's easy for us to waver in the midst of public pressure. Why is that? Because faithful is he who promised. He's faithful to stay with you. The Lord is faithful. He'll give you the strength. He'll make you even stronger to withstand against the evil day, as Scripture talks about. Then the third one is in verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I am grateful for my meeting that I belong to. I look right here. This is a nice meeting right here. I travel across the country and speak in many assemblies. And there will be assemblies that will fly me to a certain assembly where they have a group conference, just like we have our quarterly conference. Conferences come together. On a Sunday morning, I'll gather together with the saints there, and there may be 10 people in the meeting. They're singing for the Lord. They love the Lord Jesus. The singing is robust. There's only 10 people in the meeting, 12 people, 15 people maybe. There's many assemblies where I speak. There may be no more than 15 people in fellowship. And yet they're faithful to the Lord, and they love the Lord Jesus Christ, and they encourage one another in the Lord. They're not looking for the big crowds. They're not looking to have entertainment. They're looking just to honor the Lord with their attendance there, with remembering him and the breaking of bread, and for fellowship and the prayers and the apostles' doctrine that we talked about this morning in Acts 2:42. And so many times, you know, I can remember when I was a new speaker on the circuit, so to speak. I'd go down to Memora. I went down there. They were the first ones that invited me to come and speak as a young person. And I would go there. And there was about 15 people, maybe 12 people in fellowship. And in the back of my mind, you know, our meeting was a lot larger than that. And I says, I don't see how this meeting is going to last very long. There was 12 people in fellowship. Well, you know, they have about 25 in fellowship now. And they've been faithful to the Lord for all these 25, 30 years since that point. And it's just great to see, because they weren't wavering. They were keeping on for the Lord. You know, it says in Hosea chapter 6, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His faithfulness is there. And that's what the scriptures speak about. So Christians should be without wavering, should be steadfast in the faith. We've heard this verse just quoted yesterday and goes through our mind time and time again. Psalm 57. Says, my heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. My heart is steadfast. And that's what we need to be doing, being steadfast for the Lord. And that's what these verses are encouraging us to do. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Can it be said of you that when you speak, you are stirring up love and good works? There's a lot of negativity in the world around us. Even in the Christian ranks, there's negativity. But let it be said of you that you are one that's used of the Lord to stir up love and good works. When someone walks away from you, are they encouraged to live more for the Lord, or are they discouraged? We need to provoke one another, as the King James says it, provoke. I like that word, provoke one another, but to stir up love and good works. And that's what we need to do, love and good works, so that when someone goes away from you, they say, I want to live for the Lord, and I want to do more for him. That's love and good works. And that's what we should be doing with one another. The way that's accomplished is by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but coming together and enjoying the fellowship of the Lord's people. And there are some who absent themselves from the opportunities that are available in the local assembly. There is the manner of some who do forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But what we need to be doing is exhorting one another, and so much the more, even more so, we might say it, as the day is approaching. And so the day is approaching. What day is that? The day of Christ. What's involved in that? Well, we go to be with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. If that doesn't come, if you know, we don't pass from this scene, we'll go to be with the Lord instantly. But if the Lord comes, and I'm quite convinced it's closer than it's ever been before with everything going on globally around us, those things could easily happen at any moment. But when we go to be with the Lord, then we are evaluated for our work and our lives. And all of us, as soon as we hear that, we think, oh, that's a negative. You know, I know I haven't lived up for the Lord. Don't forget this, though. the Lord rewards for every deed done in his name. The first thing we do when we think of the fact that we'll be evaluated for our lives before the Lord, we often always think of the negative. We always tend to the negative. You have a screen back here when we have it down. If we put one little black dot on that screen, there'll be 99.99% of white screen showing, and all of us focus on that one little black dot. That's the way we do it in life. We have a tendency to gravitate toward the negative. We're always thinking negatively. But don't forget, like someone said, the Lord loves us so much, he can't keep his eyes off of us. And that's what he's doing as well. He's remembering every single thing that is done in his name. And there's that great verse that's found in Hebrews. It says, God is not unfaithful, he won't remember all the things that are done for his name. I'm trying to find the verse. I can't find it quickly enough right here. But he will not forget the things that are done on his behalf. And so let's not forget those things in our walk with Christ. Our time is well spent already. We're past our time. I said to Dennis, we can have a couple more favorites. Maybe we'll have two Dennis or something like that to keep me true to my word. And at 6:15, we'll go downstairs. But let's have a word of prayer. We'll give thanks for the meal. And Dennis, do you have another song or two, or do you want to take another request? We can do that.
I actually have a request.
Okay, good. So let's take two requests, and then we'll go downstairs. But let's just unite our hearts in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you again for our time together. Just a time to remember what you've done for us and how much you love us. Lord, the gospel has been so wonderful to say that we've trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, and that we've been brought into your family, our sins forgiven, brought into the family of God. Help us never to forget that. As that one hymn says, make me to understand it. Help me to take it in, what it meant to thee, that you're the Holy One, to bear away my sin. And so, Father, help us to take it in. Help us to understand it. Help us to be joyful, Lord. Help us to be thankful. Help us to tell one another how much we're encouraged and how much they are important to us. Each one, a part of the body of Christ. Help us not to forget those responsibilities, Lord. Help us to exhort one another. Help us to hold fast the confession of our hope, and help us to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Thank you for your grace and goodness to us, for the food that's been provided, Lord, downstairs. Thank you for that. Help our fellowship to be rich, and help it to be sweet. And so we give thanks in the name of our Savior, our wonderful Savior, our precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen.